In our church Bibles this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, if you have a Bible and can turn to it, we're going to consider the glory of Jesus Christ in his resurrection. At Easter time, many people turn their minds to the resurrection and ask questions. What does Easter mean? Why does Easter matter? Why is this important for my life? Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ have anything to say to us in these days? And while those are all good questions, I want to begin with asking a more important question, which is, what was the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the Lord Jesus Christ himself? And then, having thought about that most important question, we'll seek to apply it to our hearts and lives. So let's begin with the heart of the gospel. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read in verses 1 and 2, "Moreover, brethren," Paul says, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Paul is telling the Corinthians that the only gospel which will save them is the gospel which he has received from the Lord himself. The gospel that is testified to in all the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. The gospel which is being preached by the apostles. The gospel that is written down for us now in the New Testament. The only gospel of salvation which is being proclaimed today in all the world. So the only gospel that will save you and which saved the Corinthians is the gospel of God. It's the gospel, you notice, which Paul says, "The gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and which you stand," that gospel was delivered first to the Apostle Paul by the Lord himself. So it wasn't Paul's idea or Paul's philosophy or Paul's happy thoughts about a better life. No, he's saying this is the gospel of God. And why would Paul then emphasize that again, writing to the church in Corinth? A gospel he's preached to them. A gospel now that's written down in the New Testament. Why is he outlining it again? Well, it seems there were a number of people in the church in Corinth who were doubting the resurrection. They were struggling with doubts about the future resurrection of believers. So the Apostle Paul writes to them, and he basically says in verses 1 and 2, "How come you missed this," he says, "when I went through the basics, the ABCs of the gospel? When I preached to you about Jesus Christ, who he was, why the Lord Jesus died for our sins, and then was raised from the dead. How did you miss the basics?" he said. Jesus' resurrection is the source of your new life. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the foretaste of your resurrection also. It's Jesus' resurrection from the dead which confirms eternal life for all believers. How come when I preached the gospel to you, you missed the basics? So the Apostle Paul recounts again some of the fundamental core truths of the Christian faith. So he reminds them of the gospel which brought them into a saving relationship with God. Now, it's vitally important that we stop there for a moment and think about what the Apostle Paul is saying. Paul is saying to the Corinthians that they can't pick and choose which parts of the gospel they'll believe and not believe. Oh, I like this part, I'll have this. But, oh, I don't like this part, I'll ignore that. No, he's saying, that's not up to them and it's not up to us. The gospel is God's. These things are in the gospel, says Paul, the gospel of God, and you can't take them out, otherwise you lose the gospel. Just like my tripod stand, if you saw a leg off, will fall over. Now, why is that a tremendously important lesson for us this morning? Well, it's a tremendously important lesson because British society, and particularly the British media, largely do not understand what biblical Christianity is and what the gospel is. So the BBC, very foolishly, put out a survey the other day, and their headline for it was, "The resurrection did not happen, say a quarter of Christians." Now, why is that a foolish headline? It's a foolish headline because if you say the resurrection did not happen, you can't be a Christian. Listen to the Paul writing here. Verse 17. "If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, empty, worthless, and you are still in your sins." So biblical Christianity says, no, you can't say the resurrection didn't happen and then still claim to be a Christian. That's not biblical Christianity. And the Apostle Paul is making it very clear here, because we are living too in a postmodern world where people say, oh, everybody's opinion is equally valid. I know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, but this is what I like to think. This is what I like to believe. This is what I imagine. So we become all our own little popes with one-person churches, and we sort of make things up as we go along. I take the good things I like, I leave out the things I don't like. No, says the Apostle Paul, that's not the gospel. So it's become very popular for some people to claim these days that they're Christians, and then they deny the miraculous in the Bible. Part of this survey said that one in three of the clergy in the Church of England doubt the resurrection. Well, if one in three of the clergy doubt the resurrection, that means one in three of the clergy are not Christians. I read the other day in a magazine, somebody wrote in a question. "Our preacher said on Easter that Jesus swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think?" This is the reply the newspaper printed. "Dear reader, beat your preacher with a whip with 39 heavy strokes, nail him to a cross, hang him in the blistering sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, put him in an airless tomb for 72 hours, and see what happens." See what he's saying? You can't claim to be a Christian and deny the resurrection. That's what it's saying. Now, we are living at a time in the UK, there's this great scepticism of anything supernatural. The idea that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is anything more than a fairy tale. That's what's in the mind of many people. That anti-supernatural bias and presupposition has infiltrated most of our media. And has even infiltrated into the church, professing Church of Jesus Christ. So we ask this morning, is holding to a historical, literal, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ as a supernatural event, is that necessary to be a Christian? And the answer of the Bible is very simple, unwavering. The Bible's answer is yes. You deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you're rejecting Christianity. Now, you may claim to be practicing Christianity and deny the resurrection, but it's not biblical Christianity. Here's one of the non-negotiable areas of Christian truth. So you deny the resurrection, you turn Christianity into your own religion, your religion of your own making. Why? Well, to deny the resurrection is to deny Jesus' deity. That means who he is as the eternal Son of God. Fully God, fully man. To say that Jesus did not rise from the dead is to say that Jesus remained in the grave, that his corpse decomposed and rotted away. But if Jesus is the eternal Son of God, then he must rise from the dead. The Bible is clear. So to claim that Jesus did not rise from the dead is to claim that Jesus is not God. To turn Jesus into a martyred good teacher rather than the living Son of God, resurrected King of glory. To deny the resurrection is to call Jesus a liar. difficult to hold that Jesus was a good moral teacher and at the same time a liar. But listen to what Jesus himself said. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. Jesus taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." So to say someone can be a Christian and say Jesus did not rise from the dead is to say you can be a Christian and say Jesus is a liar. Does Jesus have a forked tongue? To deny the resurrection is to deny Jesus' atoning death. Paul emphasizes here to the Corinthians, if Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins, he says. How do we know that Jesus on the cross paid the penalty for our sins? How can you know this morning that he died as your substitute? How can you know that Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God and paid in full for all your sins and that your salvation this morning can be secure in him? Ours says the Bible, because of the resurrection from the dead. With no resurrection, we remain condemned in our sins under the wrath of God. So to deny the resurrection is to deny any hope. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. In other words, we've got no hope, says the Apostle Paul, if we deny the resurrection. Death swallows us up. We have no hope that Jesus Christ will return and vindicate his people. If the resurrection is not true, Jesus is a liar, all God's promises are broken. So the resurrection is essential to Christianity. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then he's not God, then he's a liar, his death was pointless, and we have no hope. So to reject the resurrection is actually to reject who Jesus really is. The Apostle Paul here is saying then, if you've believed on the gospel for salvation, you've believed on the gospel of God, the gospel as it is revealed in the Word of God. It's not just some pick and choose religion. Gospel is announced by God. We believe it or we reject it, but you can't change it and still call it the gospel of God. That's not our prerogative. This gospel which you are saved, says Paul, if you hold it fast, that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So Paul talks first of all about the heart of the gospel. The second thing he talks about is the core elements of the gospel. Paul indicates there are six core elements in his gospel teaching. Six irreducible truths, if you like, that are part of the preaching of the gospel. The Messiah died, the Messiah died for our sins, the Messiah was buried, the Messiah was raised from the dead, and it was all according to the scriptures. So the first truth that Paul is preaching is that Jesus is the Messiah. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ is the word Messiah. Now there's a whole sermon in that word. Jesus is the Messiah. When Paul says that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he's identifying Jesus as the Messiah foretold for hundreds of years all through the Old Testament. As God promised that he would send a savior, a rescuer, a liberator for his people. Paul says the gospel fulfills all those Old Testament promises and prophecies with regard to the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Then, says Paul, the Messiah died. Don't many Jewish people still this morning stumble over a crucified Messiah, a Messiah who died? You see, if you've got a wrong idea about the Messiah, someone who's going to be a great political or military leader to liberate people, then the idea of a Messiah who dies, particularly a Messiah who's crucified at the hands of the Roman oppressor, That's unthinkable, abhorrent. But the Apostle Paul says the Messiah died. And that, in fact, he says, is a vindication of what the Bible says. It's according to the Scriptures. If you read your Bible, if you read your Old Testament, says the Apostle Paul, you will see that the Messiah had to die. Here's a great example of what the Old Testament says, Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him, on the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. And by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah the prophet says the Messiah had to die. In fact, all through the Old Testament sacrificial system, the Old Testament promises and prophecies all point to a Messiah, the Lamb of God, who will die and take away the sins of the world. The Messiah died. And notice that I omitted some words there because Paul doesn't just say that the Messiah died. He says the Messiah died for our sins. That's the third thing. The Messiah didn't die just as an example to his people. The Messiah didn't die just to show us how to live a sacrificial life. He didn't die to show us in some strange way the love of God. No, says the Bible, he died for our sins. So the Messiah's death for sin is at the heart of the gospel. And there's a connection in the Bible between sin and death. The wages of sin is death. So when you see the Messiah die, you ask yourself, why did he die? And the Bible's answer is very clear. Not for his own sins. He was sinless. He had no sins of his own. He died for our sins. This was the death of a substitute. Our mediator took our place. He bore the penalty of sin that we might enjoy the righteousness of God through faith in him. So that you can be justified, you can be transformed, you can have an eternal living relationship with God. Jesus Christ the Messiah died for our sins. That's an essential part of the gospel, says Paul. Then he goes on to say, the Messiah was buried. Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah died. He died for our sins. And then the Messiah was buried. So just in case there's any doubt in anyone's mind still that it was just a swoon, Jesus just fainted on the cross, the Apostle Paul says, no, the gospel tells you the Messiah did not swoon. He wasn't half dead. The miracle of Easter is not resuscitation. This man was dead. He was so dead that he was buried. His friends buried him. Now, friends don't bury friends who are alive. Friends bury friends who have died. He was buried. He was entombed. That's how dead Jesus was. And then he goes on to say, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was raised from the dead. Not resuscitated, resurrected. Don't miss this, says Paul. You need to believe on this for salvation. When we get confused about the gospel, we go back to what the Bible tells us. Here's the preaching of the gospel, says Paul. And an essential core element in it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why the Corinthians had got themselves into all sorts of trouble. Doubting Jesus' resurrection had led them to doubt their own resurrection. And then there's one last thing at the end of verses 3 and 4. I've already mentioned it. Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah died. The Messiah died for our sins. The Messiah was buried. The Messiah rose from the dead. But it's all according to the Scriptures, says Paul. According to the Scriptures. All that the Old Testament had said. All about Jesus Christ that was written down and promised and prophesied there. The life, the coming, the life, the person, the work, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was all promised. It was all prophesied. And God has kept every one of his promises. And God has kept every one of those prophecies. So if you're someone who says, and there are lots of people like this today, someone who says, oh, I love the ethical teachings of Jesus. I love the Sermon on the Mount. But I just don't like all this stuff about him dying for our sins. I don't like this stuff about him rising from the dead. Well, we could have a good discussion. But that isn't the Christ offered in the gospel. The Christ offered in the gospel is not just a great moral teacher. The Christ in the gospel is the one who conquered death and was raised from the dead. He's the living one who ever lives to intercede for his people. He's the living Christ who rules the world by the word of his power. This is the Savior, says Paul. He was raised from the dead. And that gospel is not ours to change. Not mine as a preacher, not yours if you're a Christian. It's the gospel of God. If you're going to be saved, then you believe these things. You say Jesus is the Messiah. He died. He died for my sins. He died for the sins of all who trust in him. He was buried. He was raised again on the third day. And all of his coming, all of his life, all of his death, all of his resurrection was in accordance with the scriptures. The heart of the gospel, the core elements of the gospel. And then thirdly, the glory of Christ in the gospel. Paul is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ was exalted in his resurrection. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Jesus was shown to be the divine Messiah. He was shown to be the Son of God, says the Apostle Paul. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection is God's witness to the fact that Jesus was who he claimed to be. In the Gospels, we have an account of Jesus having a conversation with a group of very learned Bible students. Jews were debating with him about the lineage of Israel, stretching back to Abraham. And Jesus said to these Jewish friends, before Abraham was, I am. And they were absolutely scandalized because they knew what he was saying. They knew before Abraham was, I am, he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to exist before Abraham, even though he's only 30 years old. Abraham had lived 2,000 years before. And the person standing in front of them is saying, before Abraham was around, I was around. Because I'm God. And they were horrified. They were scandalized. They said, this cannot be. And the resurrection says, Jesus is exactly who he says he was. None of the other great religions are founded on this belief. A founder who was raised from the dead. It's God's witness to his son, Jesus Christ. Declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Secondly, Jesus' resurrection from the dead exalted him in vindicating him. Again, in Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 34, he puts it like this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. If you're a Christian here this morning, you still struggle as I do with ongoing sin in our lives. You read the Bible and you hear the Bible declare that your sins have been forgiven. Forgiven in Jesus Christ as you put your trust in him as your Lord and Savior. But we live in a body of sin still. We fail the Lord. We fail one another. We're conscious in our mind and spirit of sinfulness. And sometimes it's hard to believe that our sins are forgiven. And the Apostle Paul is saying, Christian, when you think like that, when those fears, when those anxieties, when those doubts begin to enter your mind, look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at the resurrection. You see proof, undeniable historical proof that God has accepted the payment that Jesus made for your sins. When you see Jesus Christ's resurrection, you see God declaring not guilty over you. How do I know it? His son was raised from the dead. Jesus was vindicated. As it's been put so often, the resurrection from the dead was God's amen to Jesus Christ. It is finished from the cross when he died. You know your sins are forgiven by looking to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God accepted fully all that Jesus Christ had done in his atoning death and raised him from the dead. And then thirdly, in the resurrection, Jesus was exalted and shown to be the one who had conquered Satan and death. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Jesus Christ came, shared in our flesh and blood. Why? That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. How can you know in your experience that death will be conquered? Christians who have died already. Christians who are terminally ill. Christians who one day will face that last enemy. How can you know in your experience that death is conquered? It's set forth, says the Bible, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, as you trust in him, you can have an assurance you will be raised too. There's a prediction, a promise, that you will experience total release from death and the captivity of Satan. For to this end Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So Paul is saying in the resurrection, here's proof that Jesus Christ is Lord of living and dead and will one day come to judge the living and dead. So here's the forecast of God's verdict on you if you're trusting in Jesus Christ this morning. You believe the gospel. When the Lord Jesus returns, says the Bible, his coming will be a vindication and reunion and victory for the people of God. And you can be assured of it by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It will be the most joyful event you will have ever known. If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ as he's offered in the gospel this morning, then for Jesus to come back to this world to be the judge of the world would be a terrible thing for you. When he comes, make sure it's not coming as your judge to send you to judgment. No, that he's coming as Lord, as Savior, as risen King. You trust in Jesus Christ, the one who is offered in the gospel of God. You believe in him. You trust in him. You put your whole hope for your past, your present, your future into his hands. You say, Lord Jesus, risen Savior, save me. And Jesus Christ does not turn anyone away who comes to him like that. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that the Lord is risen indeed. We thank you that this is part of this glorious gospel which we proclaim, that gospel which we have believed from the heart, all who are Christians here this morning. And we thank you that we have a message to proclaim to the whole world. And we pray that you will help us as we seek to make this glorious message known. And we pray, Lord, as we sometimes struggle with doubts and fears, anxieties, are my sins really forgiven? Has God really accepted me? Can I be assured of resurrection hope? We pray, Lord, that you will teach us to look to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, this great fact of history, and see in the resurrection of Jesus Christ the answer to all our doubts and fears. So fill us with all hope in believing this morning, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn this morning on this same theme of Jesus' resurrection. These are the facts as we have received them. This is a hymn that takes some of the core elements of the gospel and puts them into a hymn form for us. We'll stand to sing. Pray together. Now to the King, invisible, immortal, the only wise God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Saviour now risen from the dead, be all praise, glory, majesty, might and dominion, both now and world without end. Amen.